This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Enecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Graeme Innes has been Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner since December 2005, and during that time he's also served as Australia's Human Rights Commissioner for 3.5 years and as the Racial Discrimination Commissioner for 2 years. He's a lawyer, a mediator, a company director. He's been a human rights practitioner for over 30 years. He's led and contributed to the success of a number of initiatives, including same-sex, same entitlements inquiry and the development of national disability strategy and disability access to premises and building standards in 2010. He's an advocate for the implementation of cinema captioning and also audio descriptions. And he's undertaken 3 annual inspections of Australia's immigration detention facilities. In 1995, Graeme was made a member of the Order of Australia. And in 2003, he was a finalist for Australian of the Year. Let's hear a little bit more about Graeme.
Joy.
Graeme Innes, welcome to Absolutely Everybody today. And of course, it is the International Day of People with Disabilities. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. It's really good to be here.
Just going back over your illustrious career, you have had an amazing career, starting with as a young child. I love the story or the visual of you with Sir Robert Helpman at the wheel for the Royal Blind Association. Was that sort of the beginnings for you of the work that you do now, or?
Well, I guess it had to be, Jodie, because I actually don't remember that occurrence. Oh. And apparently, if you look at the photograph of me being held by Sir Robert Helpman and helping him to spin the chocolate wheel, I'm not looking very pleased about the whole process. So, I guess that really was. And I was very lucky in the family and the parents that I had. My parents, I was born blind, and this was obviously a major surprise to my parents. But they, consciously or not, took the approach that I was just one of 3 siblings, not the special kid with the disability.
Mm.
And what that meant was that it just opened up so many opportunities to me.
Mm.
and didn't set the bar low. And so I was treated in that way, and to the greatest extent possible, treated in the same way as my sister and brother. And
yeah, certainly hasn't set the bar low. You were Human Rights Commissioner for some years, Disability Discrimination Commissioner for 8.5 years, and certainly the work that you've done, putting together the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disability, must have been quite a body of work to do. What's one of the proudest achievements that you've had in your career?
Work-wise, I think working on the development of the United Nations Convention, as you mentioned, and also the enactment of the Disability Discrimination Act.
Mm.
and the things that have flowed through from that piece of legislation.
Mm.
I suppose the other thing that I'm very proud of is the work that I did leading the same-sex, same-entitlements report when I was Human Rights Commissioner. That was the report that changed 100 laws which discriminated against people on the basis of their sexual orientation.
Yes, I was going to say that during your time as Human Rights Commissioner, you certainly were very active in campaigning for the rights of people from the LGBTI community.
Well, to me, it was just a no-brainer. I mean, the mantra that I worked on the whole time I did that work was, why should we treat people any differently simply because of who they love? And I still feel exactly the same way, and it's exciting that just last week, a bill has been introduced into the Australian Senate to remove the bar on same-sex marriage.
Mm.
Hopefully, the politicians, I think my understanding is that the majority of politicians in Australia or in the federal parliament actually support same-sex marriage. They've been somewhat blocked by prevention of them being able to vote as a conscience vote. Hopefully that will change this time.
Just in terms of obviously your time as, excuse me, Disability Discrimination Commissioner and
You were quite, I guess, radical in some ways. I recall the situation with my boss, and you were quite proactive in getting a campaign up regarding his comments in employing people with disability. Did that create some enemies for you, I guess, as Disability Discrimination Commissioner?
Well, radical is a relative concept, and there are many people in the disability sector that feel that I didn't push far enough on that and a number of other issues. There are many others who think I did, so it probably means I got the balance fairly right.
Mm.
I mean, the situation with Maya was no different to what I'd done with probably 20 other major employers before that time, which was calling on them to employ more people with disabilities. What made the Maya situation slightly different was the way in which it was done, using social media and a change.org petition. And I think that threw a few more conservative people who just haven't realised the increasing place that social media is now playing in our community. So I was a bit of an early adopter in that respect, and I think that's what caused people to be upset. But also, Paul McClintock, the chair of Maya, really used it, coming from the conservative viewpoint that he does, to beat up on the Human Rights Commission and just use me as the opportunity to do that, and argued that I didn't have powers which I have clearly had and which commissioners have had for years to put forward a policy. That's all I was doing, putting a proposal to Maya.
Yeah.
And 30,000 people throughout Australia supported my call.
Joy 94.9.
With the abolition of your role, and I know that it was quite devastating for you, do you think, firstly, what has the abolition of the role had in the progress of the rights of people with disability? Also, do you feel still empowered to campaign?
Oh, well, I absolutely feel empowered to campaign, in fact, more so. So it's had no impact there. Look, I wasn't devastated by my term at the commission coming to an end. I'd been there for 9 years. I felt that you know, I'd achieved a few important things, and it was probably time for me to move on and do something else. What I was devastated by was the government's decision to downgrade the commissioner's position from a full-time position involving a person with lived experience of disability to asking one of the other commissioners who... and I have a lot of respect for Susan Ryan, but she doesn't have experience of disability, and she's been asked to do it as a second job following a very big first job as Age Discrimination Commissioner.
Mm.
And again, it was only downgraded for political reasons, because the Attorney General had formed the view that he wanted to appoint, you know, his own person into the commission as the Human Rights Commissioner, which was a position that everyone agreed didn't need to be filled. It was an unnecessary position and had been slated for removal by the prior government, but the legislation that was drafted didn't ever go through. So it was just, you know, the Disability Discrimination Commissioner position was a casualty of politics.
Mm. Look, I want to get on to what you're doing now, but I just want to touch on some developments from this week. Obviously, the Four Corners aired the program on abuse in the disability sector, and you are putting forward your campaign for a parliamentary inquiry. With the introduction of the NDIS, what can the NDIA do to ensure this doesn't happen?
Well, I actually call for a national inquiry, not a parliamentary inquiry.
Okay.
I don't think a parliamentary inquiry is the most effective way to deal with this sort of issue. It needs a focused inquiry that a parliamentary committee can't give, and a national inquiry could have more powers to investigate. And I call for a national inquiry because I know, as do most people in the sector, that unfortunately these sorts of instances occur all around Australia. And I think it would be better dealt with at a national level.
Mm.
And such an inquiry needs to hear the voices of those people and validate their claims and their concerns, and then make recommendations for legislative change, but more importantly, for cultural change in the sector.
Mm.
But look, the NDIA will have an impact here, because what it does is give people more choice and control. And so it will give people with disabilities more opportunity when these sorts of things are occurring, to walk, you know, to walk away from the particular organisation where it is occurring. Mm. So I think the events of Four Corners is a real wake-up call to the sector, but we do need to have some cultural change, because these instances are totally unacceptable. They're human rights breaches, they're criminal law breaches, and they can no longer be treated as staff management issues, which is largely how they have been treated in the past.
Joy.
The body of work that you're doing now with the Attitude Foundation, which is fairly exciting and is, I guess, at its roots, is around changing attitudes to people with disabilities. And obviously with things that you know, I'm not sure how your opinion of how far we have actually come in Australia with human rights in that area. But the foundations are around attitudes. So tell us a bit more about the project.
Well, I think the biggest barrier that people with disabilities face in Australia is the attitude barrier. I describe it as the soft bigotry of low expectations. And I talked at the beginning of this interview of my family setting the bar high. And people with disabilities are limited by these low expectations, because if enough people say, well, unfortunately, you'll only be able to do these things, you won't be able to do these other things, then that becomes the reality. And so what I want to do is, and why we've started the foundation, and there's a group of us that are running it, is that we want to change those expectations and change attitudes towards people with disability. Now, this has been happening in New Zealand for about a decade, where attitude pictures have been running a half-hour program on New Zealand television, mainstream television, telling the stories of people with disabilities every week, 40 weeks a year, and having those stories told by people with disabilities ourselves, and have material produced to a large extent by people with disabilities ourselves. And so that's what we're starting in Australia. And the first six episodes will go to air on the ABC at 6:30 on Saturday nights. And the first one will be on the 27th of December. So you can enjoy your Christmas celebrations and relax to build up to the new year. You'll be able to watch the first Attitude.
With a new attitude.
well, that's right, with a new attitude. So into 2015 with a new attitude. Actually, I like that, Jodie. Can I have that as a campaign?
Of course you can, Graham. That can be my contribution, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great concept, and certainly stories are very powerful things. And, of course, you know, any group that's marginalised, you know, and we talk about this a lot on Absolutely Everybody, which has the same sort of, motivation is to include everybody, and we're all people.
Yeah.
What are your hopes for the program? Do you think it will continue?
Well, we've got six episodes on Saturday nights beginning on the 27th of December.
Yep.
And then we have to raise the funds and the support to do this in Australia. And if we can do that, we will be starting a series of 20-odd programs beginning in the second half of next year.
Fantastic.
So linked to this program will be a strong social networking campaign, and I'd encourage people to look out for it. And we'll be looking for financial support, but not only financial support, because I know that a lot of people in the disability sector don't have a lot of money, but we'll be looking to build an attitude community.
Beautiful.
Because all the programs, once they're shown, go on to the Attitude Live portal, and we'll have an Australian portal for that program. So there'll be a rich set of material that'll be available for use after it's shown on TV.
Fantastic. So, sounds very exciting, Graham. So how can people get involved? Obviously social media and things like that. What's the website and handles and things like that?
The website is attitude.org.au.
Yes.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter at OzAttitude, OzAttitude. And if people would like to follow us on Facebook or Twitter and get onto the website, the campaign will ramp up after Christmas. And as I say, the first episode will go to air on the 27th of December.
Fantastic.
And we're hoping in this campaign to raise the money for the first program.
Great.
And if we can do that, then we will then go to larger corporate funders and say, okay, we've got the first one funded. Are you going to support us for the second and third and fourth and fifth? So that's
fantastic.
The point that we're building it.
Well, absolutely everybody, and I'm sure Joy will be behind you all the way. So we're looking forward to the first program and certainly seeing it roll out in 2015. Thanks so much for joining us today, Graeme Innes, and I'm sure we're going to have you back on the program to talk more. So enjoy whatever you're doing today on the International Day of People with Disability.
Thanks, Jodie. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope that you and all your listeners have a great International Day and get into 2015 with a new attitude.
Love it. Thanks, Graeme.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.